It's nice to be here with all of you. For me, after quite some time. And His Holiness Bhakti Asrai Vaishnava Maharaj is... I'm happy to bring him here to you. He's my old friend, actually. Maharaj was for many, many years in Vrindavan, and Vrindavan is still his home, from where he goes out and preaches. So that's a special grace from Krishna, when one can spend considerable time in the holy Dhamma, because after all, Krishna, in his causeless mercy, was thinking of the conditioned souls and was thinking, how can I bestow some mercy upon these conditioned souls? Then he was thinking to himself, why only some mercy? I will give them all the mercy. And he had placed the entire spiritual world in the material world, in the form of the holy Dhammas. There is no difference between Sri Boma Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan. So those who can stay there, they are very, very fortunate. So I know Bhakti Asrai Vaishnava Maharaj for so many years. And he has always been a brahmachari throughout his life. And a natural sadhu. He was either preaching, sometimes traveling with a group of brahmacharis as their leader, and doing book distribution and preaching programs, sometimes many buses we had in Vrindavan that were distributing books, and Maharaj was coordinating that for Kumbh Mela or so many other events and preaching. And then the other side of Maharaj is that, as a resident of Vrindavan, is that he spending so many years there, he naturally knows Vrindavan inside out, so many places. And if I want to know something, I usually go to him, because he knows more about Vrindavan than me. Also, we may remember that in Vrindavan, every year in the month of Kartik, the devotees in the temple are chanting the Dhammadharastika prayers. But you may also know that then elsewhere in the Krishna Balaram hall on the side, and even before that hall was there, they always sing the Gopi Gita. And very nice. So Maharaj instituted that and maintained that for many, many years, this chanting. In the past, we had a very nice Giriraj temple there also. It's Giriraj Bhakti temple. Nah. Like that, Maharaj is indeed my special friend and a special soul, because his life is very simple. Krishna is simply the center of it. There's nothing else. His life has never been a life of so much complexity, of so many desires to fulfill, so many dreams, only one dream: to be a devotee of Krishna. So, and to simply stay in Vrindavan. So in that way, I'm happy to introduce to you His Holiness Bhakti Acharya Vaishnava Maharaj. Tonight we are here, yeah, we're reaching a little late in our program. Starts a bit late, so tomorrow, of course, Newcastle is celebrating Rath Yatra also. So we will go, and maybe you will also go, possibly some of you. That would be very nice if you come. And then after the Rath Yatra, Maharaj will come back here for Ram Navami. In previous years, I've been here for Ram Navami. One time I was here on Ram Navami. It was the same year was my birthday also. I remember that. Prabhupada sang the song, which I liked very much. So I'm sorry that it's not my birthday today. Just for that, I enjoyed it.
You just have to tell them when you come back that it's your birthday.
And then Roger will sing for you a special song. He does it very nicely. So, here in Lady Smith, there's a nice community of devotees, and over the years, Krishna consciousness has become stronger and stronger. In the past, the programs were not so far from here, in a local temple.
Yeah.
But then they became very enthusiastic and made their own temple, and that's where we are now. That is very nice.
Yeah, like,
I mean, you can see it was a bit of a drive into the interior.
Yeah.
We are now not in the big city, so still sizable town. I'm not meaning to belittle Ladysmith, but I mean to say that. Here, there is no airport, there are not many swamis flying in, like in Durban or in Johannesburg, in between. So, it's very nice that the devotees, even with less support, and still, they became so enthusiastic to make this nice temple. So, and that means, once you have a nice temple, then there are duties and so many things, and then spiritual life becomes more substantial than when you're just a small namahata. It's different. So that was a serious step forward, a serious increase in commitment. And that is, of course, really what Krishna consciousness means. It means commitment. It means to, just as it is said that at the time of initiation, one goes before Krishna and says, Krishna, from this day on, I am yours. So it's a big thing to say for your whole life. From this day on, I am yours. Well, I don't know. Are you ready to say that to Krishna? Think about it. Sleep on it for one night. Yes. Krishna, I am yours. Young boys may have some doubts, and even big boys have some doubts. Ladies may have some doubts, everyone. But that is what Krishna wants, naturally. Life after life, anadi bahi mukha. Life after life, we have been in the material world, and Krishna is waiting. Krishna is waiting for that time when the living being finally paunam janam te kyanam pipadati vasudhi usaramiti samadhan sudhudhava. After many, many lifetimes, that he comes to this point where the jiva says, yes, Krishna is the most important thing. First Krishna. So this is a big step. Krishna first. But that is the purpose of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So yes, in South Africa, as I was today introducing Maharaj to South Africa, we were sort of came from the airport and we drove past Virulam, and I said, yes, Maharaj, that's where a lot of people from South India stay, and they have, you know, they have their temple, their Venkatesh temple. And Maharaj said, oh, also here? Yeah, also here. I said, yes, also here. They have many temples in South Africa. So many, actually. Then we went to this Peter Maritzburg Goshala, this Sri Krishna Goshala. And then there was a Brahmin bull, you know, like the hump and everything. So I was again, whoa, they have these cows also here. So we have so much from India. And, you know, you will see. We have Ramayana, we have dance from India, we have so much from Bharat, as Krishnadas Maharaj.
Krishnadas Maharaj has many disciples here. Krishnadas Maharaj is always teaching. India was his name, it was Bharat, which is true.
So yes, all that came to South Africa, and a lot of the culture came to South Africa, because the Indian community stayed very close together in South Africa. So a lot was maintained. And there are temples everywhere, and also here. There are so many different temples, so many of the Indian organizations, you know, there are also everywhere in South Africa, you know, all the ones from Divine Light and this and that, and Arya Samaj, and, you know, Sai Baba, and you name them, they're all, and so many others, they're all here. But this movement is not a movement from Bharat, not a movement from India. This movement is a movement from the spiritual world. It is directly from the spiritual world. It is different in quality. It is, we came past the Goshala and they showed me the visitor's book and asked us to write something, and I read some of the things, and someone said, oh, so good that you're keeping the values of Hinduism. Yes, but just as we say, what is India? We will also say, there is no reference of India in the scripture. We will also say, what is Hinduism? There is no reference of Hinduism in any scripture. Prabhupada explained, this is something that came from the Muslims who would Nabi would speak to the people on the other side of the Shindu. So in this way it became Hindu. Yeah. But truly, the occupational duty of every every living being the natural duty of every living being is known as is a sanatana dharma. Not to be mistaken for a society which goes by that name, but sanatana dharma truly means the eternal natural occupation of the living being. And that is what this movement came to teach. Namely, dharma. Srila Prabhupada explains that dharma is referring to the essence of something. The dharma of a rasgulla is that it is sweet. When a rasgulla is not sweet, it's not a rasgulla. Agreed? What do you think? Makes sense. Rasgulla, if it's not sweet, it's not a rasgulla. So the dharma of water, I have it, is wet. Yeah, you want to try it? Dharma of fire is hot, like that. And the dharma of the jiva is to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. That is when a living being reconnects with its original true nature. And it is that what is the essence of this movement. So it's a special movement. In India, there are so many scriptures, and sometimes one doesn't know anymore which scripture to read or which scripture is the most important. Is it the Upanishad? Upanishad. It said Upanishad means to sit close by. Upanishad. To sit close by the feet of Guru and to be close to the Lord. And Upanishads the most important. Are the Puranas the most important? Are the four Vedas the most important? There are Brahmanas that are known as Chaturvedi. Chaturvedi, Trivedi. They have studied the four Vedas and their families. And generation after generation, they are studying these four Vedas, Chaturvedi. In Mathura, we have so many Chaturvedis. Remember this, Chaturvedi. But now, they are not always studying the Vedas anymore. We know Chaturvedi, and we rent buses from them.
Isn't it?
He doesn't study the Vedas anymore. He does business. So that is also. But that is the influence of the age of Kali. But previously in such families, they would study. They would study the... So there's the Chaturvedi Brahmanas, Trivedi Brahmanas. There are Smarta Brahmanas. The Smarta Brahmanas, they were expert in studying the Smriti. Smriti. See, when we are studying the four Vedas are giving us many rituals that are being performed in the worship of Indra and the worship of other devatas and where we are obtaining blessings and so on. But many of these ceremonies are complex. Then if you look at the Smriti, like the Manu Smriti, there are many rituals that deal with everyday life, that deal with matters of like marriage, how to get the blessings, that deal with how to conceive a child, what sanskaras to perform before, after. So the Smriti Shastra is quite practical, dealing very much with practical life and giving us many blessings for practical life. So there are Brahmins who specialized in those scriptures. Smart. They're known as Smartas. Then we see there are others who are expert in the Purans, and they can give us various explanations of various Purans. So, which Vedic literature is the most important? It is all important, but at the beginning of the age of Kali, Vyasadeva did two things. And actually it happens every age of Kali. At the beginning of every age of Kali there is a Vyas, not always the same person, but the same post. And there is a personality. Like Parasara Muni was the father of Vyas. And Parasara Muni said to our current Vyasadeva, he said, in the previous Kalpa, I was the Vyas. Yes. And then the duty of Vyas is to divide all the Vedic literature. And he writes it down and he appoints different brahmanas to become expert in different branches of Vedic knowledge. So, is all Vedic knowledge equal? Or is some Vedic knowledge more important than other? And that is a question. Well, Srimad Bhagavatam does address this point. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a few introductory verses. The first verse is Janmanadi Yasyatam Vyat Vitaratas Chate Savitisar Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikari Muyanti Yat Surya Teju Parimadam Vitavi Mayu Yata Kisarvizatam Nisvaya Saradrasta Kulukam Sajan Parandigam. The first verse is explaining everything is coming from Krishna in this world. But even the demigods are bewildered by the material energy. Even they are controlled by Maya. If the demigods are affected by the illusory energy, what to speak of us? So it says one must focus on the absolute truth. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yes, we are worshipping, we are offering our obeisances to Om Namo, means to the absolute truth that includes everything. It begins with Om, then Namo, then we offer our obeisances, and then Bhagavate, speaking about the Supreme Lord, Vasudevaya, the son of Vasudeva. So in this way, Bhagavatam established the objection and answers Satyam Param Dhimahi. On that truth, one should fix his mind. And in the next verse, Bhagavatam is saying Dharma Projita Kaitavutra Paramodhya Matsarana Satam, that this Srimad Bhagavatam goes beyond all other forms of religion, and it is being followed by those who are nirmatsarana, who are non-envious. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamune Kate Kimbapare Vishwaraha. It has been written by Mahamuni Vyas. So it is the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge. Nikama Kalpitaro Gaitam Phanam Sukamukat Purita Drava Samyatam Pivata Bhagavatam Rasanayam Mahura Hulu Sukhavi Uvibha Mukha. So this, it is the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. Actually, this Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way there are three introductory verses which sort of define Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find also a similar description. There's the story of Gopakumar. We remember Gopakumar? Gopakumar was a cowherd boy from Govardhan. But somehow or other, Govardhan was now far away. And Gopukumar was always looking for that, to return to that situation in Govardhan. And in the course of that, he came to many places. Oh, yes. First, he came to various holy places here on earth. Oh. And then he came to higher planetary systems. At one point, Gopukumar came to Brahmaloka by dint of the chanting of his mantra. He was chanting the mantra that he received from his guru. And as a result, Gopukumar was elevated to higher planetary systems and eventually came to the abode of Lord Brahma. Then it happened to be so that at that time, Lord Brahma had to go to perform some sacrifice, some ceremony. And he asked Gopukumar to temporarily look after the universal affairs. So Gopukumar agreed. And suddenly he had the responsibility of Brahma, which is a big post. Yes. So then, one day, all the Vedas personified assembled before Gopukumar. And it was a large assembly. All were there. Yes. Not only the four Vedas, but also their subdivisions, such as various Brahmanas, Samhitas, Aranyakas. They were all present. And the Upanishads were there, the Puranas also. So it was a large assembly. And in that assembly, the Upanishads, they were dominating the entire assembly. You know how it is? When there's an assembly of people, there are always some who are sort of speaking the most, and then there are others that sort of sit a bit towards the back watching it all. Although, it's not necessarily so that the ones who speak the most are always right, you know. But they just are the ones that sometimes like the sound of their own voice, and so on. So, the Upanishads were dominating the entire discussion. And they established Brahman. Brahman as the ultimate goal. Well, at one point, some members in the assembly really couldn't tolerate it any longer. In fact, certain Agamas and some confidential Upanishads and also some of the Puranas just walked out of that assembly. So then that, you know, like, when they just walked out, it created a whole drama. I mean, everyone was like, oh no, they have left, and this is really inauspicious, and what do we do now? So then the whole assembly went after them and said, they begged them, no, please, what happened? What went wrong? Why did you leave? How could you? You must return. And then these confidential Upanishads like the Gopal Tapani Upanishad and the Puranas like Padma Purana and the Bhagavad Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, they agreed to return, but then they were offered a seat of honor and they were given the opportunity to speak. And then they established, actually, that Srimad Bhagavatam established Vadanti Tattvayam Tattvayat Jnanatvayam Praneti Paramatneti Bhagavan Iti Sabjati, that the absolute truth is one and undivided and consists of three aspects, namely Brahman, the all-pervading impersonal feature, Paramatma, who is the Lord that resides in the heart of everyone, his heart, his heart, his heart, his heart, everyone's heart.
And
he's dead. Hanuman also looked.
And then, finally, there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. That same Sri Krishna, from Vrindavan, also appeared in the form of Lord Jagannath. Then with big round eyes of ecstasy, along with his Balaram, and sister Subhadra. And in this way, Krishna was established
by the
Srimad Bhagavatam as the ultimate goal of life and the ultimate purpose of the Vedas, which is a conclusion that is also repeated in the Bhagavad Gita. Veda is to say that aham veda vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. I am the purpose of all the Vedas. I am the knower of all the Vedas, Krishna says. So in that way, we see. It is said, the Bhagavad Gita is spoken later, of course, after all the Vedas were written long before. The Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And it is said that the Bhagavad Gita is sometimes known like the Gita Upanishad. And it's known as the Gita Upanishad. Why is that? It is said because it's like an Upanishad. It's not an Upanishad in that sense, but it's written in the same format as an Upanishad. Therefore, it's known as Gita Upanishad. And then there is a verse which says, Sarva Upanishad Gavo Dukta Gopalamandana Bhaktivatsa Sudhir Bhakta Gitam Ritam Mayam Mayat. It is said that all the Upanishads are like a herd of cows. But the best of all those cows is the Gita. And the Gita said, for every calf, for every cow to be milked, you need a calf. Otherwise, the cow dries up. Right? So Arjuna was the calf. And Krishna was milking, and the enjoyer of the milk was the Sudhir, the wise man, Sudhir Bhakta, the wise man. And in this way, the nectar of the Gita can be had. So like that, we see that Bhagavad Gita takes a special place, because the Bhagavad Gita are the words of Krishna. And the words of Krishna, are bringing all auspiciousness. Everything about Krishna is all auspicious. He is the wherever there is Krishna, Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Mayandaka, Yahweh to Krishna, Dhanai Maya. So where there's Krishna, all illusion will disappear, and it is, and with that all suffering will disappear. Yeah. Therefore, Krishna is all auspicious because he offers us devotional service. And devotional service is klesakni. It destroys all suffering. It is subhana. It makes everything auspicious. It is moksha lakuta krit. It gives us even a greater experience of happiness than the happiness of liberation from material suffering. Because it gives us the nectar of service to Krishna. It is sudurlabha. It is not often attained. Bhagavad Gita also says, Manushya Nansa Susu Kashi Jagati Siddhi, not often attained.
And then it is said, for those who become advanced, this devotional service is becoming more and more dense. Sandranatna Visheshatma. One becomes addicted. Kirtan. More kirtan. And still more kirtan. We cannot get enough. And then sankirtan. And then samprasad. And then again. And this becomes our daily activity. And we cannot get enough. So in this way, devotional service takes over our life. Sankirtan visheshatma. It becomes more and more dense. And finally, when devotional service becomes very dense, when every aspect of our life becomes touched by devotional service, and little by little, it takes over everything, and it's everywhere. When devotional service becomes like that, it becomes mature. First it comes into our life, it takes time for it to mature, but that's the idea, that it little by little increases in our life, and enters into every aspect of life, and then it becomes mature, and then that devotional service becomes Sri Krishna Darshan, begins to attract Krishna. And then it becomes exciting. You see, it says, our Prabodhananda Saraswati, he said that in the stage of bhava, there is some change. He said, before bhava, we know bhava is a very advanced stage of devotional service. It is ecstasy, very advanced. He said, before you come to bhava, you try to remember Krishna, and it's not easy. Every morning, trying to remember Krishna, reading about Krishna, Krishna, yes, learning some verses. About Krishna. You know any slokas? You know some slokas? You? Bhagavad Gita? You know some Bhagavad Gita? They know. Okay, tell them to recite. He knows. So, we study Bhagavad Gita, and little by little, more Krishna comes into our life, more and more. So, at that stage, when everywhere there's Krishna in our life, then we become mature, and what happens is our devotional service begins to attract Krishna. And then Prabodhananda said, in the stage of bhava, one comes to the stage of bhava, then we are not just trying to remember Krishna, then Krishna manifests himself in our meditation. He appears before us in our meditation. See, this is the result when devotional service matures. So Krishna consciousness is not just that, oh, I'm trying, Maharaj, I'm really trying. I'm trying so much. Sometimes I'm crying. That's how much I'm trying. Yes. It's not easy. No, not easy at all. We are trying and sometimes crying how difficult it is. Yes. No. That's the beginning stage. But as our devotional service enters every aspect of our life, it becomes more and more rich, and we become mature, and Krishna will begin to reveal himself to us more and more and more. Because devotional service attracts Krishna. And that makes the whole thing exciting. See, that's where ecstasy comes from. That devotional service attracts Krishna. Why do devotees become ecstatic? Because it attracts devotional service attracts Krishna, either directly or His mercy. That makes us ecstatic, you see. So we are just at the beginning.
We have to bring Krishna more into our life. Just like the rich pastors,
who always have Krishna in their life, everywhere. Because in Vrindavan, everyone is Krishna conscious. One time they were in Vrindavan, I don't know if you also remember this, but one day, many years ago, there was some crazy fellow that came to Vrindavan, and he was dressed with a cowboy hat and blue jeans, some Westerner, and he had a big ghetto blaster tape recorder, right? And he was playing a Bob Dylan song, One More Cup of Coffee Before We Go, in front of our temple, you know? Loud, you know, really loud. It was blasting, right? And, you know, it was, well, everybody went to look, you know, because we'd never seen anything like that in Vrindavan. The whole Gurukul came out, right? There were like 200-300 kids were all looking at him, you know. And the adults came out and were all looking at him, like, and finally, you know, and he said, "Are you lost? You know, are you, did you make a wrong turn, you know?" I said, "We are normal here, you know what I mean? This is normal." Right? And, you know, he looked like he came from another planet. Right? And with his cup of coffee and so on. I said, like, you know, where are you coming from? This is the place where being a devotee of Krishna is normal. This is what everyone does. Everyone is a devotee of Krishna. Except you. What's wrong with you? It is funny because in the Western world, you know, when you walk around like that, some people live to be like, "Hey, go get a job, go get a job." But in Vrindavan, it is different. Everyone respects the sadhus. Everyone knows that's the most important. Those who are worshipping Krishna, oh, they are the most important. Yes. So, here in this temple, we know that also. But this knowledge is very rare. Just like in many of the Vedas, this is not known. This confidential knowledge was only known to special Upanishads like the Gopal Tapani Upanishads that knew that service to Krishna is the highest. It wasn't known to many. And just like even in the many temples of South Africa, this is not known. Even as in many temples in India, this is not known. But this knowledge is known here. And that is why we are so happy to be here today in this blacksmith temple where, you know, the devotees know. Where they know that after many, many lives, they know that Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. And to be in the association of such devotees, that is the greatest wealth. That is the greatest wealth. Why would we want anything else? All that we want is to be in the association of such devotees. Therefore,